Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. Why it matters.
Money FM 89.3. It is the evening runway. I'm Elliot Danker. April is Autism Awareness Month, and we dedicate this conversation to promote acceptance, understanding, and inclusion of individuals with autism. Now, in Singapore, one in 150 children have autism. Studies have shown that the public perception of autism revealed that autistic children are generally judged in a less favorable light. Some people with autism may hit, yell, or hurt themselves, and they may violate other people's personal space. They may ignore social rules, they may laugh or make noise at the wrong time. And because of associated behaviors like aggression, meltdowns, or hugging impulses, people may view autism as perhaps frightening or uncomfortable. Well, it gets harder for them as they enter the working world as well. So what can we do as a society to help people with autism integrate better in the employment landscape? We're going to get some answers. Belinda Chua, Head of Employability Services at Rainbow Centre, is on the line with me. Belinda, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Elliot. I'm good. Thank you for having me.
And thank you so much for all the work that you guys have been doing. I suppose, for starters, help us understand what exactly Rainbow Centre does.
Yeah, sure, no problem. Hi, everyone. I'm Belinda from Rainbow Centre. So I just quickly go through what we do at Rainbow Centre. So we serve largely individuals with moderate to severe autism as well as multiple disabilities. And Rainbow Centre, we provide a wide range of services to support our clients through different stages of their lives, from birth to adulthood, and also in different settings such as employment or community engagement. And these services also extend to their families as well as partners that we work with to support them. So through the work we do, we hope to create opportunities for our clients to fulfill their potential and eventually participate meaningfully in the society.
And you guys operate three special education schools, right?
Yes,
tell us a little bit more about those schools and also the kind of support for special needs people with autism or people who have autism. How has that changed over the years?
Yeah, so we actually have three special education schools. One is in Margaret Drive, the other one is in Yishun Park, and the last and upcoming one, the newest one that we have, is Admiral Hill. So for special education schools, we support clients from 7 years old all the way to 18 years old. Mm-hmm. And how we structure our program and our curriculum is to really ensure that they will be able to achieve good life domains, which is, for example, being safe, being independent, being included and heard, and being healthy and being connected to the community. And the curriculum and the lessons that we deliver to our students in the special education schools really start from formative years when they are young, and then to when they undergo puberty, and then finally when they go into youth and then transitioning to adulthood. We want to really support them in these domains to ensure that when they leave the school, they will be able to be independent and live a good life.
So my younger brother's a music teacher, and I hear a lot about, you know, kids with autism because he's taken one of these courses that qualifies him to teach for this group of people. And as he describes his daily adventures, so to speak, I can see this as a space where not everyone can get into, not everyone will have that patience, right? Now, even though there's a lot more awareness, Belinda, what are some of the challenges that you guys face when you're trying to help others with autism?
I think the challenges that we face right now is, I think, one, the competency of people in this sector supporting individuals with moderate to severe autism is that they really need to understand the culture of autism. And I think that is a whole new culture that we are not familiar with to start with.
Yeah.
And once we understand their learning preferences and their culture, we will be able to come in to really look beneath the iceberg and understand why certain behaviors come up and get to the root cause and address these behaviors at root cause. And that's where we can really do away with all the different behaviors that they may have and get them to learn and absorb and pick up skills that we want them to pick up.
Would I be correct to assume that it's like understanding the trigger points for these people so that you can work around it and they benefit best from a full range of education?
Yeah, because autism, how we see it, is a learning disability.
Okay.
I think it's really to understand what are their learning preferences.
Oh, okay.
For
okay.
example, yeah, I think some very quick examples that some people may be familiar with will be that they actually prefer routine tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And why routine is because it gives them predictability. They actually know what to expect. They know what they're expected to do, and they know what is the next step they need to progress to. And I think that gives them certainty and confidence to take on that role. And with that predictability, they will be able to be engaged in the work that they do. I think another example is really that they are visual learners.
Yeah.
That a lot of us don't really understand very intuitively because we're highly verbal.
Yeah.
We talk through things, we communicate through our words. But for them, the visual input and visual clarity is very important.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where they will understand what we are trying to say, and we can also understand what they are trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I think these are just some examples of their learning preferences. And once we get to know them better, we will be able to better support them as well.
Yeah. Actually, you know, if you think about it with the way you've described it, it's quite normal behavior as well. You know, people preferring a routine or people prefer learning through visual cues.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So we have this thing called Autism Acceptance Month, which is the month of April. So in spite of that, right, what is the employment landscape like for people with autism?
I think if we look at the national statistics, just in 2022 and 2023, looking at ages between 15 to 64, actually the rate of employment is at 32%. And if you are familiar with the Enabling Master Plan 2030, actually the target is 40%. And for Rainbow Center across the three special education schools, we have 90 graduates each year, but actually less than 5% actually goes into an existing employment or vocational program.
Okay.
And this is really because, again, like I mentioned about the learning preferences, and whether the environment today, whether it's in open employment or in supported employment, whether it allows them to thrive.
Yeah.
So if I just look at the conditions of open employment today, typically if we look at a job description, there are many, many work tasks folded within one JD. And these things are actually very overwhelming for some of our individuals with moderate to severe autism. And also the work expectations and the demands can be very long working hours and very dynamic working environment. In terms of the environment, it can also be a bit overstimulating with chatters in the office. Like just simple chatters may be a distraction for them.
Okay.
So yeah, so these actually really means that there are very limited job opportunities available for some of our individuals with moderate to severe needs.
Belinda, I'm not sure if I'm asking the right question, so correct me at any time, but I do understand with regard to autism, it is a spectrum, right? And it's different parts of the spectrum. I know we talked about challenges for autistic people to get employed, but are there scenarios with, and again, layman saying, I don't know, a mild manner of autism is employed, has climbed the ranks, and so you have a boss with some level of autism. Is such a scenario possible? Am I assuming wrongly?
That the situation is looking up for persons with mild autism? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So let's say, for example, is there a possibility that if I go into the organization, I encounter a boss who has mild autism?
I think there is a possibility.
Okay.
So, like you said, autism, the spectrum of autism is very, very wide-ranging.
Yeah.
The mild ones can really be very mild, and the severe ones can really be really severe.
Mm.
For the mild ones, if they get early intervention and if they have enough support from the society and the network, they will be able to actually thrive pretty well in a workplace setting. And I think SG Enable is one of the government agencies that we work with very closely. And they also do have different programs and different support to allow these PWDs to also participate in the community, in the workplace, in a very organic way.
So the reason I brought that up, Belinda, is because obviously you want to find a job that's suitable, an environment that's suitable for people with moderate to severe autism to give that support system, right? If someone's got a mild manner of it, it's possible for them to rise up to a managerial role. But what if me, I go in without realizing that my boss has a mild manner of autism and I get irritated with how they do things. No, I mean, if you can flip it around and I mean, it's a societal question, right? It's not who's in charge or who's below, right? So there is that aspect that we also have to consider.
Yeah, of course, understand. So I think that's where advocacy work comes in.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really helping the public and as well as our community realize that there is nothing scary about autism, whether it's mild or moderate or severe. What it all takes is really for us to understand where they're coming from and for us to really have that open communication with them. And I think through that understanding, you know, about the profile and that these are just learning preferences that they may have, And I think the community and the co-workers and the people that you work with will really understand and come in to support you holistically as an ecosystem.
But obviously, at the start point of everything, every scenario, one must find and tap on the quality of empathy that they have inside.
Yeah.
Belinda, let's talk a little bit about the Centre's employment programs, Rainbow Centre, that is. Tell us a little bit about how you prepare people with autism for the workforce. Any success stories that you could share with us?
Yeah, definitely. I think right now for the special education schools, the support given is pretty holistic. So we have the teachers coming in, the job coaches coming in, and also allied professionals coming in. But what we really need to look into right now will be the post-18 options for some of these graduates. And that's why we have rolled out two pilot programs to really support and bring about work for individuals with moderate to severe autism. So I have two programs that just piloted, 2020 and one recently last year. The first program that I have is called the Micro Business Academy, which is also called MBA for short. It is actually a two-year program supporting families to set up home businesses to provide meaningful work engagement for their child with disabilities from home. And why we think that this really works for the family as a whole is that the child can really work from an environment that's familiar to them. They can actually navigate around the space very comfortably. They can also work with familiar people, their parents, people that they trust. And in terms of the work that is carved out for them, it can be tailored to their preferences as well as their interests. So we have a two-year program in a very structured way where we bring the families through a series of discovering potential business ideas that you can have with your child, and then trialing them, and then giving them some enterprise skills to sustain the home business in the long run. Yeah, the other program that we have is called MicroJobs. It's a bit related to what I mentioned earlier, that in the open employment setting is very overwhelming. So we want to really strip out one task in a very long JD and redefine that task to be a microjob. And that's where we can provide intensive training to enable our clients with moderate to severe autism to really master that microjob. And hopefully we can find like-minded partners and employers to place these clients into their workplace and get them to be part of the workforce.
Very interesting. Just a final bit, Belinda. I mean, you talked earlier about how advocacy can play a huge part. I suppose advocacy through partnerships would be quite important. Tell us a little bit about then how, you know, any of these organizations could perhaps reach out to people like you at Rainbow Centre to partner and spread this advocacy.
Yeah, thank you for asking that. So for the World Autism Awareness Day, which is actually now organized by the Autism Network Singapore, the theme for this year is really partnering for progress. And that's where we really want to come in to call for mainstream institutions like public agencies, employers, corporations, schools to take on a more proactive approach, to come and approach us and to see how we can support persons with autism through their different life stages. So for the ANS, which is the Autism Network Singapore, we actually have 5 participating social service agencies. And all of us, we have various works in this area, and we support individuals with autism across from birth to adulthood to community integration. So we really call for organizations or employers who are keen to partner us to reach out to us, visit our website at the Autism Network Singapore, and just link up with us to explore and to discover different collaborations that we can have with everyone.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I've been speaking with Belinda Chua, Head of Employability Services at Rainbow Centre. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you so much, Elliot.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio, at the App Store and Google Play.